ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। वी आर डिस्कसिंग द 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called Bhakti Yoga. In the introduction, I also mentioned in the last chapter, 11th chapter, the last verse, Mat Kat Karma Krit Mat Paramo Mat Bhaktaha Sangha Varjitaha Nirvairaha Sarva Bhuteshu Yah Saha Mam Eti Pandava. 5 steps. You should associate and you should work only for me, to please me. And I should be your supreme goal. And then you will become devoted. You are called a devotee. Then you will have to give up all attachments to everything else excepting me. That means be attached only to me. And if you attain that state, you start looking upon everyone as your greatest friend. 12th chapter is an elaboration of the whole thing. In our last class, we discussed this goal, how to become a devotee. What does it mean? That you decide God is the supreme goal, lakshya, mat paramaha. So decide, your buddhi, your understanding comes to that conclusion that God is the highest goal. And then your thoughts follow accordingly. This is the psychology. Whatever we think is good, all the thoughts follow that decision. It is not easy to make God as the supreme goal, and therefore it is also difficult to think only about God. When we sit for meditation, we go on complaining that our mind is restless. This is the condition we are in. There is not one single one of us here who can say, my mind is focused, concentrated. It is restless. That is our natural, normal condition. So how to attain to that condition where our thoughts will be only thinking about God and our mind, our intellect has fixed God as the goal? Recollect Swamiji's summary of Vedanta, each soul is potentially divine. Therefore, what is the goal?
To manifest
this divinity. And then only the mind can be made to follow through various pathways, either through work or worship, psychic control or philosophy, by one, more, all of these together. So if you are not able to fix your intellect upon me, your goal as me, me as your goal, and if your mind is not thinking about me, then what is the next best thing? Abhyasa. practice. And if you are not able to practice, because practicing comes only when you have fixed to some extent. You decided to learn some song, then only the practice will come. If you have not even decided what to do, then your mind will be naturally restless, scattered, vikshipta. So if you are not able to do, then associate every action with me. Yes. Mat karma paramo bhava. But if you are not able to do that, at least after doing the actions, offer the results to me. That means what? At least before doing the work, any work, our mind may be scattered. But once the action is over, it is out of our hands. What is going to happen is going to happen. Therefore, pray to God. That is the until that verse we have seen till yesterday. Now we are going to take how to attain to that goal. How to become a bhakta? Is it easy to become a bhakta?
No.
There must be certain characteristics, and it is God who has to give us the certificate that you are my bhakta. And the verses from 13th to 19th, God is going to give the certificate. He who has the following qualities, sa mad bhaktaha, or my dear bhaktaha. Every verse practically, that comes at the end, that he is my devotee and he is dear to me. Yah sa mad bhaktaha, mad priyaha, etc. Who is dear to God? A devotee. What about non-devotee? Is dear or not dear?
Yes.
Dear.
He is also dear, because from the God's viewpoint, there is no para, there is no other. All. That is why we have to appreciate that song, Sadhu Sajjana Janani Tumi Ma. O Mother, you are the mother of sadhus and sajjans, any good person. But that is only, then what about the other people? Asadhu Durjan, Sadhu Sajjan, Asadhu Durjan, Shuta Tomar. They are also your children. In the Chandi, we get this beautiful hint. O Mother, there are so many asuras. It's Madhu, Kaitava, Mahishasura, Shumbha, Nishumbha, Raktabija, etc. These are the main characters we get. Raktabija, very interesting. Bija means what?
Seed.
So the story goes, there is one asura. If one drop of blood falls on earth, another demon equivalent to him in valor, if not more powerful than him, will be springing up from that. So the more you shed the blood,
the more
will come. That is what the scripture tells. The commentator tells, not only that, that asura which is born as the result of that rakta, if you hit him
again,
and from his blood,
yeah,
and more again, asuras will come. What is the symbolism? What is the rakta bija here?
Every
desire. The moment, what is the drop of blood falling on the ground?
Satisfaction of desire.
Fulfilling. Not satisfaction. Fulfilling the desire.
Oh, fulfilling.
First you have to fulfill.
Oh,
after that satisfaction,
may or may not come.
God knows. So, that desire will become stronger. Okay?
Maharaj, if the desire is fulfilled and you are not satisfied by the fulfillment of desire, is it a binding? Like, will it become a samskara?
That is the binding. Because if you are satisfied, then it is only temporary satisfaction. But that temporary satisfaction means, after a little time,
again,
I am not satisfied. I want it. This is the nature. That is why three characteristics of every worldly desire. First, it is incomplete. Second, it has its opposite. Third,
it binds.
This is the krama. So, what are the characteristics of a devotee? In the Chandi, it is mentioned. Mother, by your very will, you could have destroyed these people. Then why is it you yourself have to personally come and destroy them? Where is the need for you? It is there.
To liberate.
Then the answer given is, after all, they are also your children. And if you destroy them with your own hands, then they will become purified and they will become Durjan becomes
Sajjan,
and he will become liberated. This wonderful point. But the even more important point is, what can mother destroy of her child?
Ignorance.
You know, every child, when it plays This is all play for mother. So when the mother play, child plays, he will be covered with dirt, dust, etc. So mother sometimes gets annoyed also. And she will take him. What does she do?
Clean up.
Clean and then give a fresh dress. That is the situation. So who is other than mother? Everyone is a child of mother. In fact, who created this evil people?
Mother.
When we say evil people, what do we exactly mean? People are not evil. There are no good people, there are no evil people. Good potato curry, bad potato curry doesn't exist. Potato curry is potato curry. Whatever you add to that, it is that we call good or bad. Is it not?
Yes.
Not only that, if you want a little bit of fun, the moment any food goes down the throat, there is a machine which dissects. Proteins go to protein, vitamins goes to the vitamin, carbohydrates go to the carbohydrates, and the digestible things go to the body, and indigestible things go out. So that it is most tasty or untasty, who says that one? Only the tongue. That is why there was a great saint in South India called Paramahamsa, Sadashiva Brahmendra. After collecting food by bhiksha, you know, in a cloth bag, he will go and put it in Kaveri River. So all the salt, spices, oil, etc. will be washed away. He eats that one. In fact, that is what our body does for us, and for a long time it protects us. But when it becomes bhubhara happens, then you know God himself has to come in the form of heart attack and then save the bhubhara. Okay, what is the point here? What is the point? All are children of God. When we say this person is good, when we say this person is bad, the person is neither good nor bad. It depends upon the dress which the person is putting on. What does the dress mean? A person is separate from the dress. So these qualities are totally separate from the person. Atman is totally separate. The body mind is the dress. The body mind is made up of what? Three gunas. Sattva, rajas and tamas. So it is these qualities. If tamas is more, that person comes to be known as durjan, evil person. If it is sattva guna, then he will be called as sajjana. So these are things which come and go, but the person himself is permanent, eternal, which we call atman. So the purpose of life is to teach us a lesson. You are separate, the gunas are separate. This is the truth.
Maharaj, a person is good or bad is how I perceive, individually perceive that other person, isn't it?
That has nothing to do, because that cannot be the criteria. Why? Supposing Sri Ramakrishna is there. So there are people who consider him not as a good, mad person, and etc. Nobody, of course, ever said Sri Ramakrishna is a bad person. You see, all persons can be divided into three classes. So, sad, bad, mad. Find out in which category you are. So, nobody said, but about Swami Vivekananda, was he not a great saint, rishi?
Oh, yes.
But there were, how Pratap Chandra Majumdar, for example, how did he perceive him? So, we are not talking about other people's opinion. We are talking about one's own perception. How do we know that I am a good person? If you are a good person, you are Satvika person, you have got certain balance of mind, and you are filled with Sat,
Chit,
and Ananda. You are filled with goodness, you are filled with equanimity of mind, and you are filled with most important
happiness.
Joy. There is one important factor here. That is, there are certain things we don't ask anybody, we need not ask anybody. For example, would you go and ask, am I asleep or awake? Would you ask anybody? There is no need. Because if you are asleep, you won't ask the
question.
If you are awake also, you will not ask that question. Similarly, this we can understand. But if we go further and say, would you go to anybody and say, am I a happy person or unhappy person? Would you ever ask?
No.
Because this is called Svanubhava.
Inherent.
If you are happy, you should be the first person to know. And if you are unhappy also, you should be the first person
to know.
You don't need to ask. Suppose you are unhappy, somebody says you are a very happy person. Does it help you?
No.
No.
It doesn't help you. If you are not happy, somebody says, oh, you are unhealthy. Somebody comes, you look very well. How does it help you? You are suffering from stomachache, and the other person says, oh, you look fine. How does it help you? Yeah. So many things. These are called Svanubhava. Yeah. We don't need to ask. So if you are a good person, you yourself will know that you are a good person. How do you know? These are the characteristics. If you are a really good person means sattva guna sampanna. Then, first thing you notice, you are a very happy person. And if you are a happy person, something happens. You can forgive anybody. When you are in a happy mood, you will be in a very generous mood.
Yes.
You will be generous in every way. So, these are what is called one's own experiences. This is the answer to your question. The other people's opinion depends upon many factors. Maybe that person is your friend. Maybe the other person loves you. And this person's love is blind. So the other person loves you. So that person is totally
biased.
Blind. Biased even, at least he is not blind. Blind means he doesn't know anything about this. Yeah, these are the things. So how do we know? Our own Antaratma will tell us. Nobody need tell you that you are a happy person or unhappy person. Nobody need tell you whether you are having good sleep or bad sleep. You yourself will know. Certain things. There are other things about which we depend upon other people's opinion. So even if we are not efficient, somebody says you are very efficient. Some people will say you are very efficient in being inefficient. Efficiently inefficient.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so now the Lord is going to tell us. What is he going to tell? First he gives an hierarchy of values. What is it? It is, we have got certain types of beliefs, not really good beliefs, but some sort of belief, intellectual knowledge, shastric knowledge, etc. And that's of no good. If you don't really believe, then touting some verses and talking, Sri Ramakrishna said this, Swami Vivekananda said this, we all say very facile, each soul is potentially divine. Then why are you not manifesting it? My wife doesn't like it. You know, we all sorts of, the weather is not allowing me to meditate upon God. All sorts of excuses we give. So what is the point here? At least intellectually we are convinced it leads to further actions. This is what the Lord is telling. We will now chant verse 12. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnanadhyanam visishyate dhyanat karma phalas yagah त्यागात् शान्तिरनन्तरम्. Better indeed is knowledge than abhyasa. Meditation is more esteemed than mere knowledge. Than meditation, the renunciation of the fruits of action, peace immediately follows renunciation. So four things: abhyasa, then abhyasa, knowledge, meditation, giving up the fruits of actions. So each one preceding, the succeeding one is better than the preceding one. What is the first thing? Mechanical practice of anything is the worst, lowest type of spiritual practice. You know, you just sit, mind is not there, yes, mala is going on. This is what we do, mala, puja, mind is elsewhere. But the practice is going on. But if you, it is, practice is better, even mechanical practice is better than not doing anything. It will slowly lead. It is not to condemn. We say this in course of time will lead to the next step, to the next step, to the last step. But better than abhyasa, do practice with intellectual understanding, conviction. Better than intellectual conviction is focus, concentration, or which is called here meditation. But even better than meditation, if at all there is a meditation, the result will call. What is the result? Consequence? You definitely give up the fruits of knowledge. That means what? You keep your mind peaceful, serene. Whatever comes, you will accept. Yesterday we used two terms, Ishvara Arpana Buddhi and Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. Sometimes we do Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, we say sincerely, but we are not prepared to accept it, whatever comes, as God's prasadam. That is very important. So what is the Lord trying to tell us? If you don't have any better thing to do, even if you don't feel like, do mechanical practice also. Fix a particular time, either for japa, worship, study, or having satsanga. Be steadfast in it. Abhyasa means what?
Steadfast.
You like, you don't like, keep it up. That is the first step. I think most of our devotees need to do it. But after some time, if you do it really sincerely, then mechanical becomes conscious practice. Conscious practice leads to what? Intellectual conviction. What is the conviction? Shastra, Guru, Shastra, Vakyeshu, Satya Buddhi, Avadharana. So, very interesting verse. Satya Buddhi, Avadharana doesn't mean that you understand the scriptures. It means you have faith that even though I don't understand, they are only speaking the truth. It's very interesting, it's a side understanding, you know. There are two schools of Vedanta itself. One school says that Shravana, Mahavakya Shravana will lead you to realization. You don't need Manana, you don't need Nididhyasana. So how do you justify it? Just by hearing you will realize God? Yes, should. If you did not, that means you are not really convinced about it. When you are convinced, my guru is telling is the truth, Mahavakya is truth. When you are 100% convinced, the moment you hear about it, then immediately you will realize. Sri Ramakrishna gives an example. Mother doesn't want a child to go into a particular room. Then says, there is a dangerous spirit is there, bhuta is there, ghost is there, etc., etc. And the child absolutely believes and he will not go there. He will not think, shale manana, is it true? Is it not true? A joke is there, small joke. You know, there was a boy, John, his name is John. He is afraid to step into darkness. So his mother always tells, John, very God is there. What is there to be frightened? You just go there. Darkness, yes, but God also is there. He says, yes. He could not refute it. So he says, yes, Mom. Do you believe? Yes, Mom, I believe it. So one night, there was something in the courtyard, and the mother wanted John to bring it. It was dark. So he was hesitating to go. And the mother, John, what did I say? Mom, you told me that God is there, I should not be frightened. Then go and fetch it. So the fellow went, gingerly opened the door, said, God, if you are there, hand over that thing to me. So that is the conviction. Conviction means the mother said. Also Sri Ramakrishna says, so the mother shows the baby some stranger and this is your uncle. And the child believes 100%. The other story about faith, Dada Madhusudana. So that if a person has got that kind of conviction, then the first Shravana itself, the person becomes enlightened. But before that, there should be this pure 100% conviction that what Guru says, what scripture says is absolute truth. In Sri Ramakrishna's case, that is absolutely truth. He believed in it. The other school of Vedanta said, no, that's not enough. You should reinforce your hearing, Shravana, with manana, with nididhyasana, with meditation, and with nishkama karma after a long time. Then you will experience it. There is an eternal conflict between these two views. You don't need to understand it. This is just a beautiful reputation. Then the argument the first school of Vedanta tells is that in case you have not understood, then you have not purified yourself, you have not got that conviction. Until that time you have to go on, you do nishkama karma, guru seva, etc. Then your time will come. The moment you hear from the mouth of the guru, instantaneously there would be realization. Okay, what am I talking about? What is it connected here? There is abhyasa, mechanical practice in course of time. It is not vain. It leads to conscious practice. That's why there is a hint. It should be very practical. When you do japa, don't go on saying, for example, Om Ramakrishna, Om Ramakrishna, Om Ramakrishna. If you do that, it could become and it does become mechanical. Simply say, Om Ramakrishna, Om Ramakrishna, Om Ramakrishna. Stop. Am I doing it with attention? Then you start. Even it will take little more time. Even if you don't complete your fixed number, it is much more fruitful, effective than continuously going on doing it. Stop, maybe after every fifth repetition or tenth repetition, just stop. This is one way. Second way is just focus not on the meaning but on the lettering itself. Om Ramakrishna, Om. Pay attention that Om Rama Krishna, Om Rama Krishna. This is how we train our mind to pay more attention. This is what the Zen Buddhism says, the mindfulness. But meaning will come. Once you are fixed in that, the meaning also will follow. The moment you pay attention, meaning also will come. We need to do it when you are singing a song. You will also have to sing with meaning. If you don't have the meaning, bhava will not come. Mechanically, you are singing. Okay, coming back. So, mechanical practice in course of time leads to conscious practice. Conscious practice makes the scriptural teachings much more meaningful. And the scriptural meanings in course of time leads to deeper meditation. And deeper meditation brings in the result, God is existing and I have to offer and He can give me better results than the karma that I do. This is one of the convictions that comes. Let me repeat. What is the conviction? If I expect the results of karma exactly as I have done, it will be give me exact result. But if I offer it to God, then the God also increases that result and gives. Now, if you give one chocolate to your mother, then your mother will give you how many chocolates?
Yes.
Minimum two. Every child expects that, isn't it? This is called wise investment. God is our biggest bank.
Yes.
And not only that, first of all, it will never become Diwala.
Yes.
No bankrupt.
No,
that is the first good thing about the bank called God. The second is, it works not only internationally, but interloka also. Not only in this birth, next birth, this bank has got branches in every part of the loka. Swargaloka, Narakaloka, everywhere branches are there. And it will give the highest interest. Yeah. So many benefits are there.
But it doesn't work on credit system.
Yes.
Cash only.
Yes. Unfortunately, pay now, no credit system. But it will give you credit in the form of happiness and unhappiness. Yeah. That is called conversion, you know. You go into India, your credit card will give what? Dollars. It gives rupees. So if you go Swargaloka, what is the credit there?
Happiness.
That is how it works. The idea is, don't expect. But you say, my mother knows better than me.
Yes.
That is the idea. Sharanagati. These are the steps. Now, from the 13th verse onwards, until 19th, 7 verses, the Lord is expounding the 35 qualities of devotees. Let us explore one of them. Now, I will stop here. Are there any questions about verse 12? The 4 steps. Abhyasa leads to better understanding of scriptural teachings. That leads to deeper devotion. And deeper devotion invariably ends in offering of all the results to God. These are the 4 things. Anybody has any doubt about this?
Peace.
Tyaga. Yes. That is what comes. The moment you are expecting, your mind is hesitated. But the moment you offer, Shanti Anantaram. Shanti and Ananda are one and the same. Shanti and Sukha are not one and the same. Because Sukha has got its opposite. But Shanti doesn't have its Ashanti in the higher sense. Otherwise you say, I am suffering from Ashanti. No. Peace means Ananda. Because we rely totally upon God. And God will take care of Iha as well as Para. That is the idea. Okay. Then let us proceed. Let us chant.
This Shanti is also contentment, right?
It is Ananda. See, contentment is also a great quality. But contentment means, whatever is there, I am quite happy. This can be practiced by many people, even non-devotees. But positive Ananda, the man is looking forward, life is a joy. There are 2 types of people. Some people, no complaints, quite content, but life is going smoothly, but he is not particularly excited. But a person with joy, he is looking forward and says, oh, it is still, the sun has not risen. When I am going to, he is very happy to plunge into life. That Ananda comes. Sri Ramakrishna could not sleep. Why?
Ananda.
Because he is looking forward. Every minute, he gives so much of Ananda. He doesn't need. This is also another fact. If you are very happy, you don't need much sleep.
That's true.
Sleep is the easiest way that we get some peace of mind. Otherwise, the moment you know before going to sleep, first thing I open my eyes, whom do I have to face? This is called face time. All right. Okay? Let us chant. Advesta sarvabhutanam maitra karunayevaca nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukhakshami. Okay, we will stop here, discuss it and proceed further. Advesta sarvabhutanam nirvairaha sarvabhutish. Earlier we said, the same thing he is repeating. Advesta means, the person will not hate anybody.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he hate? Because in this world, it is wrong to think that there is only good people, there will be also bad people. Mm-hmm. This is the normal experience. Mm-hmm. But for a devotee, both give positive result. Mm-hmm. As Tulsidas used to say, derive great joy from two people. Good people and evil people. Both give me the greatest joy. When good people come to me, I derive the greatest joy. When evil people go away from me, I derive the greatest joy. But according to Tulasidas and devotees, who are the sajjanas and who are the durjanas? Not our standard. His standard is, whoever helps him to think about God, that is sajjana. And whoever is an obstruction, that person is a durjana. Why I am saying, our idea is, an evil person is a person who has got very harmful qualities, a ferocious person, frightening person, thieving person, robbing person, criticizing person, etc. But that is not the case with most of the people we know. They may be our closest friends. But they will come when you are about to sit for meditation, they will come. And when you want to talk about something good, they will raise a topic which will bring you headache.
Yes.
Like that, these are the people who are our greatest enemies. That is why, as English saying, you know, O Lord, I will take care of my enemies, kindly take care of my friends. There is a saying in there like that. So, unconsciously, we are not recognizing that the people who are not inclined to God, they are our greatest obstruction, and most of the time they are closer to us. According to a saint, they are the durjanas. So this is what Swami Vivekananda's definition of dharma and adharma. What is dharma? That which takes us nearer to God is dharma. And that which takes us further away from God is adharma. It's a beautiful definition. So also this, who is a sajjana? Whoever reminds us of God, helps us go nearer to God, he is a sajjana. And whoever is an obstruction to my approaching God, he is a durjana. Even if he is a sajjana in some other aspects, that is, we have to be careful. Of course, those who are really evil people, we have to take care of them. But these are the people who are near to us, more of an obstruction than anything else. Okay. So, advesta sarvabhutana. A person should never feel enmity or negative feeling. Enmity means what? Negative feeling. Negative feeling comes also by criticism. That's why Holy Mother's teaching, if you want peace of mind, then do stop finding fault with others. Because the moment we find fault, already our mind is filled with what?
Negative.
That particular quality. In Telugu there is a beautiful, the people who find fault, they do not know that they have that fault in them. And Swamiji explains this. If a person doesn't have that fault, he can never recognize that fault in others.
Yes. Child and the thief.
Any, every case. So this is very important. The moment we stop criticizing, then what do we see? What is the point? I have got defects. Then how to stop finding fault? There is only one way. What is that way? See the good qualities, something good in the other person. And every person has got many good qualities which we do not. Is it a fact or not?
Yes,
so let us practice it. Advesta sarvabhutana. Second reason why this is said. Because who is a spiritual person? A person who is trying to see God. So seeing God where? What is the next point? Why we should not hate? Because what is it? Who is a spiritual practitioner and how do we know his progress? The more we progress in spiritual life, the more we see more of God in within ourselves. And the more we see God within ourselves, automatically we see more of God in other people also. And that is the second reason. The third reason is, if there are some wicked people, what is our idea? There are wicked people who can do harm to us even when we do not deserve it. But the law of karma doesn't accept it. Nobody can do to us anything unless we really deserve it. And whatever we deserve it is only good for us, because this is teaching us a lesson. I should not repeat this one. I should become a better person. In every way, this is something. That's why every day these are mantras. Do you hate anybody? Find out and say, I may not like the person, but let me not think that person as bad person. Okay, I don't need to associate. But I say, may God bless you, you live your own life, let me lead my own life. This is a good thing. Maitraha karuna evacha. Now, I am reminded of Patanjali. He says, we have to live in this world with various types of people. What type of mind or outlook we should develop in order to be at peace? 4. Maitri, karuna, mudita, and upeksha. So, maitri means friendliness. Karuna means compassion. Mudita means positive joy. Upeksha means indifference. How does it apply? So, all the humanity is classified into 4 types. There are other people. Devotees, spiritual people, they are practicing spiritual disciplines, they are progressing. So we should develop maitri, means friendship with them, so that they will encourage us, we also get encourage some of them. Friendship with spiritual people, that is called maitri. Karuna means, there are so many people, good or bad, that's not the point, but they are suffering. And no person, no animal should suffer, really speaking. Because the whole creation is God's creation. Therefore, if we don't feel compassion, we are not human beings. Irrespective of who that person is. That's why there is a saying that even my enemies should not go through this. It is good, especially for a spiritual person. Karuna is towards person who are undergoing intense suffering and we cannot really help them much. You know, there is that much you can do. Beyond that, you can't help anybody. You can't help even your own father, your mother, your child, your near. You can't even help yourself. What to speak of trying to help other people? Simple example I will give you. Suppose you are sleeping, maybe your husband, wife, children, and they are not getting sleep. Tell me, how can you help them? Suppose you are having good dream and you are smiling. Your husband looks at you and says, you share that also with me, he shakes you. Can you share? You can't share. You can't share your sleep. You can't share your good dream. You can't share your digestive power. You can't share anything excepting providing certain things. You can't really share with anybody. That is why we must have that sympathy. We can pray for their welfare. We should pray. And this is called
karuna.
So, Maitri Karuna. Mudita means be very happy. That is a characteristic of every spiritual person. What is it? Irrespective of whether we like that person or not. If some good happens to that person, maybe that person has got a promotion, or he won a lottery ticket, whatever it is, if the other person is happy, we should be
happy
with that person. Now it has got two benefits. The moment you are happy at the happiness of the other people, the first thing is, the negative quality called jealousy, intolerance will not be there. Only if you are happy. The second thing is, by seeing the other people happy, if you are happy, does it increase your happiness or not?
Yes.
And that's what you want, isn't it? So, why do you prevent your own happiness? After all, that's what you want. So try to be happy. But what do we do? So I don't mind being unhappy, but I don't want the other fellow to be happy. You know, these are all defects in our personality. And this has nothing to do with spirituality. Even as an ordinary person, whether I believe in God or not, I want to make spiritual progress or not, everybody, irrespective, they want to be happy. This is the secret of how to be a little less unhappy. So, if you seek people who are very happy, and if you can extend your happiness with them, I think you should be happy all the time. Is it not?
Yes.
That's a very important quality. This is the third attitude every spiritual aspirant should have towards particular type of humanity. What is the last one?
Upeksha.
What is upeksha?
Indifference.
Because there will be some people, whatever you do, they will find fault with you. They will criticize you. There is no, don't seek, what reason has he got? Most of the time there is no reason. The only reason is, he wants to criticize. That's it. He wants to look down upon you. So, what should you do? Don't take revenge. Don't think of pratikara. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilaparahitam titiksha sa nigadyate. So, there is also, Vidyaranya has some beautiful hint towards the people who are criticizing you. Wonderful thing. Three benefits are there. What is the first benefit? If someone is criticizing you, usually, he will find out your faults.
Yeah.
So, if he doesn't criticize you, you have to go to Harvey Street, pay $100 per hour and let the psychologist tell you what problems you have. Here, freely he is giving you. What he doesn't know, don't tell him that you are benefiting me. He might stop criticizing you. That is the first benefit. The second benefit, suppose you don't have any weaknesses, defects, then you will develop forbearance so that your mind will not be disturbed by hearing the criticisms. You know, I told you that story of a Sufi saint.
Oh, go and get abused.
Some of the devotees don't know or have forgotten, as usual. There was a Sufi saint. And one day, a man approached and said, I would like to be your disciple. The saint said, come tomorrow, I will accept you as disciple and I will tell you what to do. Next day the man came, very sincere person. And the guru told him, that go and meet such and such a person, pay him money by the hour and get abused from sunrise to sunset for 6 months. So this person was very sincere. He went, paid the money and got abused from sunrise to sunset for 6 months. He came back and said, I have done what you asked me to do. The man said, go to Basra, very famous place. And then there another person, teacher, will guide you. So this man went and he reached next morning. And then the gates were just open. And then as soon as he entered, one of the ugliest persons on earth, old man, started abusing him right and left. Hearing that, this person started dancing with joy. So this fellow stopped in his tracks and said, how come I am abusing you and you are dancing with joy? He said, you don't know. For the last 6 months, I was paying to get abused. And now I am getting it absolutely free. Then that man said, all right, come with me. I will take you to Allah, guide you to Allah. This is very important. This is not a story. It is an important point. There will be people. Not only people, there will be events which will create many, many unhappy reactions in our mind. This is natural thing. So we will have to accept them as they are. So when a person criticizes you and you can develop that equanimity of mind, then slowly these things will stop bothering you, disturbing you, right? This is the second benefit. First, what is the first benefit? He is pointing out your defects without your paying any money. And if it is true, he is our greatest friend. He is showing us what, how to become a better person. Even though that's not his intention, but he is helping us. Second, you will develop strength of mind, equanimity, serenity. The third, he says, in this world, to give joy to other people, you have to spend three things. Time, money, energy. Here, without doing anything, you are bringing so much joy to the other person, you will be very happy. You are doing so much of joy. Because if anybody comes to know that we are giving joy to him by his criticizing us, he might stop criticizing. There are people like that. If the moment they come to know that they are benefiting, they don't want to do it. Yeah. So, Adveshta Sarvabhutana is very, very important.
Yes.
Maitraha means what? Friendliness. Everybody is a friend. Because everybody can teach us a lesson. Good person, bad person. And what does the good person teach us? This is how you can be good. What does the bad person teach us? This is how you can become a bad person. Therefore, do not follow him. Both teach us lesson. This is how we learn our lessons, isn't it? Karuna evacha. Then karuna. Karuna means what?
Compassion.
But only Sri Ramakrishna said, when you show compassion, you should not feel superior. You should think that this poor fellow need not suffer, but they are suffering, pray or help in whatever way. Shiva Gyane,
Jiva
Shiva. But even if we don't go to that extent, we should really feel. If we don't feel, we are not spiritual people. Okay. Nirmamaha Nirhankaraha. So these are two things. And beautiful way. First, mama means what?
Mine.
Whatever belongs to me is mama. So whenever we do namaskaram, many times I mentioned, namaskaram means what? Na mama karaha namaskaraha. To feel nothing belongs to me, it slowly became namaskara. Really speaking, when we do namaskara, whom are we doing namaskara? Are we doing to the body? Are we doing to the mind? We are supposed to see the Divine Lord within that person. And when you are seeing Divine Person, then to whom everything belongs? So imagine, here is Sri Ramakrishna. and you are bowing down to him. But you are seeing his body and his mind. But you are really thinking that is God. So if that is God, you are reminded of God, that body through which God is manifesting, that body and mind belong to whom?
God.
To God only, isn't it?
Yes.
This is called associative satsanga. So any, that's why it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inculcate the idea of revering, respecting every monk. So, to inculcate that truth in his disciples, one day he saw a donkey passing by and he threw a girva cloth on it and then made sashtang pranams. So, anybody who puts on a nokar cloth has to be respected. If that person doesn't behave according to his dress, that is his problem, her problem, not our problem. Because that person is reminding the ideal. What is the ideal? One day I should also become a monk or a nun. That is a beautiful story. I will tell you, it's a beautiful story. One Swami Akhandanandaji, he was wandering in North India. Once he went to a village and he took shelter in a poor house. There the lady of the house, probably husband is not there, she and her children were there. So he said, "Mother, can I stay in your house tonight?" She said, "Yes, Baba, you stay there." And they provided food. They are very devoted, you know, in North India. That's why don't go in South India for bhiksha. Most likely you will not get. Yes. Hardly very few monks are there in South India. Most monks in India are in the North India. Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rishikesh, Uttarkashi, Punjab, etc. There was a custom in Punjab. Any sadhu walking at 12:30, somebody will call. Babaji, Maharajji, bhiksha mil gaya, roti khayenge. And they also keep ready something extra.
Right.
It is the custom. That's not unfortunately the custom either in Bengal or in South India. That is why in Bengal also very few monks. North India is full of monks. Because where there is bhiksha not available. How could there be? Yeah. I am also inclined to add not only monks, monkeys are also not. Because monkeys are.
They snatch.
No, no, if they don't get food, why would they be there?
Well, that is true.
Okay. So, Akhandanandaji stayed the night.
Yes.
Next morning, the whole family had to go and work in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
But they prepare roti, mm-hmm. chutney, something, and they carry.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "Mother, I am tired. I would like to stay tonight, today also." They said, "Baba, you stay there,
mm-hmm.
and we will keep you some food there. When mm-hmm. you are hungry, you take it."
Mm-hmm.
But Swami Akhandanandaji asked, "Do you trust me?" Because the whole house is left for him.
Mm.
That, what is the guarantee that I don't pack your things and then go away?
Right.
She gave a beautiful reply. She said, "We have been taught that a monk is God. Whenever he comes, do your best to look after him."
Mm.
So that is, we will follow that, what training. In fact, few months back a monk came, like you, he stayed. Like you, he wanted to continue. And we left him food and then we left. When we came back, all our valuable utensils, he bundled and then had taken away. But that is, God will look after him. But it is our householder's duty. We will do our duty. We have been taught. It is now up to the people whether they follow their dharma or not. What a wonderful teaching. and how noble that householder should be,
yes,
to have that kind of faith. So this is what is called real, real spiritual life. So this is what nirmama. Mama means what?
Mind.
So that is the easiest thing to get rid of, because it's separate. My dress, my house, my car, whatever it is. Only when we succeed in getting some amount of control, detachment, then only the ahankara doesn't go. Ahankara is stronger. Every mamakara belongs to ahankara. So the easiest thing is to get rid of the mamakara. After that, deal with ahankara. So how to do that? Only one way. Whatever I have belongs to God. And whatever I am also belongs to God. This is the practice we have to do. A devotee never says, I am separate, I have something, so I will give something to God. He always feels, it is God who has given me my body, my mind, my possessions, they all belong to God. This is symbolized in the act of Aratrikam.
Huh.
5 items.
Yes.
You know, every Aratrikam, after puja, we have to do Aratrikam. 5 items we offer. You all know about it?
Mm.
First, light. Mm. After that, water.
Mm.
After that, cloth. Mm. After that, flower. After that, chamar. This is invariable throughout India, throughout the world where Indians, Hindus are there, in every this thing. Then you can add certain things, you know, like karpura and some fragrant something, everything. But these are the 5 items. What do these 5 items really mean? They represent the 5 bhutas, pancha bhutas, 5 elements. And all these elements came from where? From God. Therefore, what is the idea? The whole universe, jagat, is born of you. You have become. Therefore, where have I got anything to offer to you? My body, my mind also is made up of these 5 elements. Suppose there, I don't have anything I can offer to you. But that feeling that everything belongs to you is the acme of devotion. And that should be the result if we have done really puja in the proper way. That is what is nirmamo nirahankara. That means if you want to be devotee, don't have any ahankara. If you have got a talent, use it. But remember, that talent came from
God.
God.
Maharaj, in Bengali, nirmam means cruel. So is that a wrong definition?
Yes, it is. In Bengali, so many things. wrong things are there. I will give you 2 examples. Hey, lokta bhukche.
He's suffering.
Bhukche means bhog koche.
Bhog
koche means he's
enjoying. Enjoying
the suffering. So, the expression is, actually the fellow is
suffering.
Suffering too much. Bhukche. But Sanskrit meaning of bhukshya means he is really enjoying. This is one expression.
Oh, okay.
So supposing you prepare nice sweet.
Hmm.
What is the expression? Darun hoichi. Darun bhayanak. Darun means horrible. Terrible.
Darun
means terrible. In Sanskrit, Darun means terrible.
Oh.
Ah. You don't say you are terribly beautiful.
But we say that in Bengali,
Darun
Shundar.
That's what I'm saying. So that is a peculiar expression, applies only to Bengali. Okay, coming back. Yes, ma'am. So this is mamakara. First, get rid of mamakara, then ahankara. Always in that sense. Which is easier? To get rid of some possessions. But then my ahankara also should come down. Okay?
Sir, that was my question. What is the difference between mamakara and ahankara?
Ahankara means me. Me means my body, my mind. Mamakara means whatever belongs to both this body, especially the body, my dress. How do you know? Because when you say, this is my dress, you can change the dress, you can throw it away, but you can't say, I throw myself away. Because that you are so much identified. In fact, Sanskrit grammar or English grammar, the sixth case, possessive case, means anything that is used as a possessive case is different from you. So you say my hand.
Yeah.
That means my hand, is that means it can be dispossessed. And that's what happens. In some people, the hand is cut off.
Yeah.
But the fellow doesn't say, I died. Or I am only 75%. Complete. 100% will be there. Oh, the hand can be cut, the leg can be cut. So many things can be cut. Still we say, I. The eyes may go, the ears may go, the nose may go. Everything can go. Still that I remains. That shows that that I is totally different. If these things are I, the moment that goes away, the I also should disappear automatically. Does it happen?
No.
Doesn't happen.
No.
That I remains. So find out what is that I, that which you can say is a nominative case, not a possessive case. But our identity with the body, with the mind is so from the very birth, birth after birth. Therefore we say, mind also you can, you cannot say, this is me. Because your mind, how many times in a day your mind is changing? Yeah. One lady, one man and lady, they are dating. One young man and young lady were dating. So the young man had presented a beautiful golden ring to the lady. After some time, the lady broke off the engagement, but still putting on that diamond ring. Somebody who knew about it asked her, how come you broke off the engagement? He said, I only broke off the engagement, not engagement ring. I am still engaged with the engagement. So, our mind also is changing all the time. That is why then who are you? I am good, I am bad, I am happy, I am unhappy. I am satisfied, I am not satisfied. This is going on every second of the time, is it not? Then therefore that shows that there is one thing is there, that I which says, I am happy, I am unhappy. That I which says, I am both happy and unhappy, that is not changing. I am not saying, I am this, I am not this. So that, find out that I which is separate. So even when we say I am happy, it is a possessive case. When we say that I am unhappy, that is also possessive case. Everything is a possessive case. But when you come to that original nominative case, that is your Atman. Even linguistic wise, language wise, very wonderful to analyze. So nirmamo nirahankara sama dukkha sukha kshami. Sama, dukkha, sukha, first another quality. What is it? Sometimes happiness comes, sometimes unhappiness comes. We should, a devotee should try to develop that mental equanimity, serenity, should be able to take both. But what happens in our case, happily we take happiness, but we reject the unhappiness. That is where we get disturbed. But actually happiness also is a terrible disturbance. Do you know that? Supposing you are in the habit of meditating at 6 o'clock every evening, whatever time, as an example. And you bought a lottery ticket. At 5:59, you got the news, you won $5. What would be your meditation?
One more.
You see, even $5 have disturbed your mind. I'm not talking more because that might lead to very serious You see, we are all victims of this changing mind. All constantly. With such a mind, how can there be concentration? So, one of our Swamis has put it so beautifully, you know. For every a little bit serious situation, what? Oh, such and such, what? What? Oh, so this what? Happened. Good or bad? What? But if he is a spiritual aspirant, hey, you go and say, hey, you won $1,000,000 in your... So what? Anything that happens, so what? So you lost something, so what? You gained something, so what? He is not disturbed. He is not that he is a fool. He knows. But these things do not disturb him. Swami Brahmananda, he was once meditating with inadequate clothing in winter in North India, under a tree. A merchant was passing by. So he saw the condition, took out the blanket and went. Silently he bowed down to him, placed the blanket and went away. Maharaj was observing. After a few minutes, another man came, bowed down, took the prasada. Your prasada, without his permission. And then went away. Maharaj was serenely watching, smiling. God has given, God has taken. This was an incident that happened. Only a Maharaj can do that. What happens in us? Before the blanket came, we were blaming God. I am meditating on you. Why is it you are not taking care of me? Then suddenly this merchant comes. And then he deflates. Thank God. Thank you, God. You have provided me. And then after a few minutes, this fellow comes and takes prasada away. Then all that blame which we were placing upon God now turns this rascal. 5 minutes before, he did not even know a blanket is going to come to him. He did not even touch the blanket. He only saw the blanket. But already the mamakara has come. This is mine. That is why that mine is a minefield. Mine is a mine field. Yeah. So, sukha dukkha, to some extent, slowly we have to develop. Then what is the other one? Kshami. What is kshama? You know, very important. Many people do much harm to us. Everybody. You are a saint, you are not a saint, you are a householder, whatever you are, kshami. So when some people do harm, what should be a devotee's take upon that event?
God will let what I deserve.
You have to forgive. And how do we know we have forgiven? If you have forgiven, you should forget it. But most often what happens, we say we have forgiven, but we have never forgotten.
It will come back again.
Yeah, we suppress. This is a very common psychological defect. We suppress. If somebody comes, apologizes, then we say, okay, I forgive you. But we don't forget. That means we have not wholeheartedly forgiven. That is why this forgive and forget. Very difficult. But if we can go on practicing it, how to practice it? Again, bring the law of karma. Okay, that fellow, how could he insult me or dishonor me? Because I deserved it. Accept it. Or even better, it is mother's will. Kare dauma brahma podo kare kuruma adhogami. So either way, we have to develop these qualities. Only when we develop, what happens? Our mind becomes more or less undisturbed. And with that mind, we have a chance of meditating upon God. So if we analyze our restlessness, all that restlessness is due to lack of these qualities. When the mind is disturbed, we are thinking about this object, that person, this person. And when you are thinking of a person, what are you thinking of?
The quality of the person, positive or negative.
So I will stop this talk with that one psychological truth. You never think of a person in isolation. You always think of a person in terms of qualities. Anybody. Suppose you think of one person. He's a good person, he's a bad person, he's a beautiful person, he's an ugly person, he's a good singer, he's a bad singer, he's a generous person, he's a very miserly person. Our mind doesn't think the physical body is thought of very little. It is like a peg to hang on whatever we have got, umbrella, cloth or anything. Actually, we are thinking of only what? Guna. The ultimate judgment of these gunas is only two. Does this person give me happiness or does this person gives me unhappiness? With that experience, then we project. If he gives happiness, he is very good, he is very generous. Whatever he be, he is very generous. But if we are unhappy, all the negative qualities we attribute. This is the most common reaction we are going through. So what is the point we learned just now? We never look at any object, whether a human being or any, whether it is a book, whether it is harmonium, whether it is a carpet, whether it is a house, whether it is a car, whatever it is. What do we look?
Gunas.
And how do we look with the gunas?
Whether I like or dislike.
No, no.
Whether
it gives me happiness, these are called judgmental values. Two values only. Either happiness or unhappiness. Whatever object gives us happiness, we look upon it in a positive light. Even if there are defects, we put them under the carpet, brush them under the carpet. And whatever gives us unhappiness, we what is called extol more of the bad qualities. It is natural, because unhappiness means what? There must be something bad, otherwise I should have got only happiness. So now we have to overcome that. What is it? It is not what gives me happiness or unhappiness. What is it that advances my spiritual life? If we take in that light, our enemies are our greatest
friends,
people who advance us in our spiritual life. That's why that story of the Christian monastery. Very interesting. Very briefly I will tell you, then I will stop. So there was a Christian monastery. There were so many monks, and their custom is to have a superior, the head of the monastery. And there was one monk who would give trouble to everybody. And he would give the greatest trouble to the head of the center. And there the head of the center, Father Superior, was the most spiritual person in that monastery. So what happened? These monks were going on praying to God, that, oh Lord, make us happy, that means get rid of this monk. One evening, that very evil monk had announced that, I am disgusted with all of you, I am leaving this place. And that was the criticism which brought the greatest happiness to all the monks instantaneously. So he left in a huff. That night, they had a wonderful, peaceful sleep. Next early morning, they came for meditation time, gathered in the monastery church, and to their horror they found that evil monk was the first person sitting there. You can understand what would be their meditation for the next. How did it happen? Why did it happen? What is the cause? Like a broken gramophone. So somehow meditation period was over. Then a rush to the superior said, how did this monk happen to come? Yesterday night he left. We all saw him. Then the monk was saying, they understood that he is the root cause for that monk to come. Then they pressed him. What happened? Then he confessed, you know, I thought after he left. Then he said, whatever spiritual progress I made is solely due to this monk only. So if he is not there, my spiritual progress will stop. So I went, bribed him, gave him some money, and then brought him back. From now onwards, I will be progressing. And in fact, they will also progress. This is one story. The other story, even a beautiful story, some Vidyatmananda told this story. So there was a monastery. At one time it was very famous. But later on, that so slowly dilapidation came, degeneration came. The people who were joining the monastery stopped joining, and the people who were there becoming old, hardly 3-4 people were left out. So they were the head of, the Father Superior was thinking how to improve this situation. So he had a friend, a rabbi, who was a very wise man. So this Father Superior went to that rabbi and he confessed. At one time, it was all thriving with so many monks, but now hardly anybody. People also stopped coming. Devotees were not coming, monks were not coming, and slowly the people who were there, they were becoming old and then dilapidated and dying. It was in a very pitiable condition. The rabbi was a very wise man. He said something, do this, it will regain its former glory. So the Father Superior came. Next morning he called his few remaining monks, and they knew why, where he went previous night. They asked, what did the rabbi advise you? He said that he predicted that there is a saint among you and he will bring back the old glory very soon. Very soon, your monastery is going to come back to its former glory because there is a saint among you. Oh, wow. But he did not say who is the saint. So the head of the Father Superior conveyed it to those monks. Now those monks were sincere people. They started wondering, who is the greatest saint? Was it John? Was it Harry? Was it Trump? So they started respecting, who knows, I might offend a saint. So they were very respectful towards each other, and when they sit, they were really, and what would that saint, they will know, he will know what I am thinking, stop thinking wrong thoughts, negative thoughts, thinking only about God. They did not know who was the saint. And everyone is thinking the other one is the saint because he knows that he was. So then suddenly people noticed a tremendous change in these few monks. Slowly they started, when they do the service, to the most devotional service. When they sing, to the most devotional singing. Slowly people, word of mouth, you know, there is a wonderful atmosphere in the church. Slowly people come. And when people start coming, then they start bringing their children, their sons, their daughter-in-laws, their daughters. And then some of them, what a peace, what a joy. I would like also to join there. So they started joining. And then within a short few years, and then it attained to the former glory. This was the story. So what is the moral of the story? If we respect each other really, not trying to make fun of each other or to be jealous, then people will immediately notice the difference. They will also come. They will feel there is something here. and that's what they are looking for, and they are getting here. You don't need to invite them. Like bees coming when the lotus blossoms, automatically people start coming. So the essence of it is, if we want to be real devotee of God, we will have to develop these qualities. That's why the Lord is crystal clearly placing them before us, so that all these qualities need to be developed.
Yes.
We will discuss it further tomorrow. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru.